This is the Ask Pastor Alex podcast with your host, Pastor Alex.
All right, welcome back, everyone. We are here with another episode and another question. And the question for this episode is, what does it mean for Jesus to be a high priest after the order of Melchizedek? Now, I know that that is a mouthful, but it's actually a really good question. It's an interesting question, and it comes from my cousin Daniel. We were talking at our 4th of July family get-together, and at one point he asked me this question, and I thought, oh man, that is a good question, so I'm just going to answer it on the podcast. So here we are. I'm going to address it now, and Daniel, sorry for kind of skirting the question at the family get-together, but I am going to answer it now. For those of you who might not be familiar with what this question is talking about, it's referencing Hebrews chapter 6, verse 20, and really all of Hebrews chapter 7, in which the author of Hebrews is showing how Jesus is the fulfillment of the great high priest. Hebrews 6:20 says this, "Where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." And this is actually a fulfillment of a messianic prophecy that is found in Psalm 110, verse 4, which says of the Messiah, "You are a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." So there's a lot to get into with this question, but we really have to start by answering a different question, which is, who is Melchizedek? Melchizedek only appears once in Scripture. Now, his name is referenced a number of times, but the actual person of Melchizedek only appears once, and that's in Genesis chapter 14. In that chapter of the Bible, the story is about Abraham, and it's really a story that's about a bunch of kings in the area going to war with each other. There were four kings who went to war against five other kings. And in the midst of this war, Abraham's nephew Lot was captured by enemies. And so Abraham wants to rescue Lot, so he gathers together 318 men, and they go and defeat all the enemies, and they rescue Lot. But what's interesting is, after the fighting is over, the Bible tells us that Abraham meets with the king of Sodom, and also with the king of Salem, who is Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek's name is really interesting in Hebrew, because in Hebrew, it's actually a combination of two other words. You have Melech, which means king, and you have Tzedek, which is righteousness. Also in Hebrew, the place or the word Salem, it actually just means peace. And so when you get this picture of Melchizedek, the Bible presents him as the king of righteousness and the king of peace. And what's really interesting is in Genesis chapter 14, verse 18, the Bible says that Melchizedek was not just a king, but actually a priest of God Most High. Now you might be wondering, well, why is that interesting? Because there are a lot of priests in the Bible. Well, the reason it's interesting is because at this point in the Genesis narrative, we are led as readers to believe that Abraham and his family are the only God followers. The Bible focuses on them so much that we're tempted to believe that they alone worship and follow God. But then out of nowhere, here comes this guy that we've never heard of, and we find out that not only is he a follower of God, but he is a priest of God. And this is going to be really important for our discussion about Jesus being a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Because Melchizedek did not inherit his priesthood. Eventually, the Levitical priesthood would be established in Israel, and only Levites were allowed to be priests. They inherited their position. And so as the story continues, Abraham gives Melchizedek a tenth of everything he had, and then Melchizedek, this king of righteousness and this king of peace, blesses Abraham the patriarch. But now we go back to Hebrews. So we jump back to Hebrews chapter 7, and the Bible says something really interesting about Melchizedek in Hebrews 7:3. This could be a whole podcast question in and of itself, but Hebrews 7:3 says this, "He is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever." Now, you can see why that could be submitted as a podcast question, because we're reading that, we go, well, what does that mean? I mean, some people have actually tried to argue that this means Melchizedek is eternal as God is eternal, but that's not actually what the Bible is saying here. It's saying that in the biblical narrative, Melchizedek appeared out of nowhere. He just kind of shows up in Scripture. We're not told where he came from or who his family is. And so in that way, he appears to be like the Son of God, who actually is eternal. Also, since we're never told about Melchizedek's death, it appears as though his priesthood continues forever, just as Jesus's literally continues forever. And so these are the major points of comparison. Melchizedek appeared to be eternal, even though he wasn't, because we don't have his human genealogy, just as Jesus actually is eternal. Melchizedek appears not to die and continue forever as a priest, just as Jesus literally did die and then rose again and literally continues as a priest forever. But there's another important characteristic of Melchizedek's priesthood that's important for our discussion, and that's the fact that, as we have already said, Melchizedek was not part of the Levitical priesthood. It didn't exist at his time. And well, in the same way, the Bible tells us that Jesus was not a Levite. So Jesus was not part of the Levitical priesthood either. The Bible tells us that Jesus was part of the tribe of Judah, the royal kingly tribe, and yet Jesus is the great high priest. The Bible says in Hebrews 7:14, "For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, and in connection with that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests." Furthermore, Hebrews 7, verses 15 through 16 says this, "This becomes even more evident when another priest arises in the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become a priest not on the basis of legal requirement concerning bodily descent, but by the power of an indestructible life." In other words, Jesus is like Melchizedek in the sense that neither one of them was a priest on the basis of their lineage, i.e. being a Levite, but on the basis of God's appointment. This is what is meant by the order of Melchizedek. That word order is the most important word in that phrase. Order simply means in the same way or in the same likeness. So in the same way Melchizedek was a priest by appointment rather than lineage, so too Jesus is the great high priest by the appointment of God rather than lineage. And you might be saying, well, okay, but why is this necessary? You know, we had the Levitical priesthood, so why is it actually necessary to have a priest after the order of Melchizedek? Why is it essential for Jesus to be a priest in this way rather than through lineage? Well, the Bible also answers this question too in Hebrews 7:11. It says, "Now if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek rather than one named after the order of Aaron?" The author of Hebrews continues in verse 19 and he says, "For the law made nothing perfect." So the Bible is saying there in those verses that though the law was good and the Levitical priesthood was good, neither the law nor the Levitical priesthood could make anything perfect. God's people had no way of attaining the perfection that God requires. Something else was needed. And this is why the psalmist prophesied of the Messiah saying, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord has sworn and he will not change his mind. You are a priest forever." And so since Jesus is not part of the Levitical priesthood, he is the guarantor of a better covenant. Listen to Hebrews 7:23 to 25. "The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he, being Jesus, holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." In other words, Jesus is greater than the Levitical priesthood, in part because he lives forever and is therefore able to hold his office permanently. Since he always lives, we, as God's people, always have a great high priest who intercedes for us and advocates for us. Unlike the Levitical priest, Jesus is holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. And his sacrifice is greater than the sacrifices of the Levitical priests. Hebrews 7:27 to 28 says this, "He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. This is why a priest after the order of Melchizedek is needed. We need a high priest who is not stained by sin. We need one who has no weakness, one who has no need to make a sacrifice for his own sin because he has none, one who does not need to make daily sacrifices over and over and over again for our sins because his once-for-all sacrifice was sufficient to atone for our sins. We need a high priest who is perfect and glorified and lives forever so that he can always make intercession for us. This is why it's good news for us that Jesus is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And so just trying to tie all this together, what does it mean for Jesus to be a priest after the order of Melchizedek? It means that Jesus's priesthood was not inherited and therefore not constrained by the law, which could make nothing perfect. God himself appointed Jesus as a great high priest after the order of Melchizedek in the likeness of Melchizedek's own priesthood. And because of the uniqueness of Jesus's office, he is able to save to the uttermost. He is able to satisfy God's wrath. He is able to make a once-for-all sacrifice, and he always lives to make intercession for us. So Daniel, thanks for the question. I hope others have found this helpful, and I look forward to answering more in the future.